get stomped barefoot and get drunk and roll. Because I'm a hard-working man, you think I'm going to be a slave for you all my life. And you know in reading, you don't know how to treat a good man right. Now let's get stomped barefoot, mama, and get drunk and roll. Let's get stomped barefoot, mama, and get drunk and run. I don't feel like bothering with you, mama, but I just feel like having my fun.
Hey, did you hear that? Did you hear something?
Wow.
That sounds like music.
What's the old man singing about? I don't know, man. Sounds like he's trying to get drunk. I don't know.
Oh, that's something that I can get behind.
Hey, say, cheers to that. Too bad I got to work today, or else I'd be tying one on myself.
I hear that. But, yeah, that is...
We have music now! Holy crap!
We have music. We're, like, all kinds of fancy now. We have a name. We have music.
We have a Twitter account. We got an email address. We got everything now. I mean, we're...
It's almost like a real podcast.
Put on the just tie. Yeah, there you go.
It's like a real podcast. thanks for everybody who participated in the poll. This is the first podcast since that thing closed up, and it is official. We are Beyond Checkerdome.
I am very happy with the name.
Very happy to hear as well. Appreciate everybody taking part.
Thank you very much, folks.
I think it was great that the whole poll finished without a single vote for physical gestures.
I know, right? saddens me. I thought at least Rob would vote for that. But he did.
Somebody, or Dan, yeah. Or somebody, you know.
Yeah, well, Dan, yeah. Rob, especially, because he was the first one to...
Well, Rob was a big fan of Beyond Checkerdome, too, so...
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Can only vote for one.
Yes, unless you're a corpse in Chicago. Thank you for those many times.
I was going to say, vote early, vote often.
In reference to drinking, I have something here that is going to make you a little bit jealous, Tyler.
Oh, no.
Guess what first came out?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Schlafly Pumpkin Ale.
Oh, man, I love that stuff. Oh, I do. I truly do miss Schlafly products. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of microbrews out here, but nobody that compares to the quality and of... variety as Schlafly's brewing company. And, of course, you're opening one
right
in front of me.
Yep. I'm going to drink this whole show.
One, can't have one, and two, have to work later. Jerk ass.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good.
Son of a bitch.
I'm going to enjoy it the whole show.
Nice.
Make sure your label's out, even.
I want to call you a sack of shit, but I know it's not going to go anywhere. But I love it.
Okay, so. Hey, Tyler.
Yeah, what's up?
Did Petro sign yet?
No.
All right, well, that's for the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Nah. Oh, sorry.
It'll get done.
We got time. I mean, it's August. As we're recording this, it's August 11th. Yes. Training camp doesn't start for another month. People tend to we were talking about this off air. See, people tend to forget the Drew Doughty situation of the 2011-12 off season. They didn't get that done until like a week before training camp or before the season started, really. And everybody was happy with that deal, especially afterwards, because, he won a Stanley Cup that year. So.
Yeah, and he was a big part of it, too. So yeah. You got, you know, give him credit for that. He'll get done.
Oh, yeah, it's getting done.
It's not like Petro's going to be in danger of getting poached by another team. It's just a matter of time.
In normal circumstances, he would be in danger of being poached by other teams, but he is, I mean, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
He has instructed his agent not to to any other teams about any offer sheets or anything like that. Just negotiate with Doug Armstrong and the management staff of the St. Louis Blues, and that should instill confidence in everybody. Unfortunately, it's not, but it does in me anyway.
But we have had some other signings since our last broadcast.
Yes, and one which you fucking nailed.
I am quite pleased with myself. In our last broadcast, we talked about Magnus Paimi.
Magnus Paimi, yes.
Yes, the Umblad Overlord was still yet to be signed. I said 1.5 at the most, and he signs for 1.2. I feel pretty good about that.
I feel great about that.
that gives us 7.6 million and change.
Yeah.
For
one guy to go.
Yeah.
Wonder who that is.
Yeah. So with that kind of cap space, you know that Petro's going to get paid.
Yeah. It just depends on how long he wants to stay at this point. And I think that's probably the haggling point. It's either going to be a very short deal or as long a deal as they can give him.
Right.
There's really no middle ground now.
Now, this is the, I think, probably the sticking point's probably term, more so than money.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Even though those are related. If I understand correctly, and I'm completely willing to be wrong on this, but I believe you become an unrestricted free agent after 7 years and the age of 27, something like that.
It's one of those. I think it's either 7 years or the age of 27. Depends on which one happens first. I know they were trying to change that in the new CBA, and it didn't really come to fruition because it was basically, well, shit awful. So, yeah.
But if I read that right, then it's actually the same season. Petro turns 27. In the middle of his seventh professional season.
So he'll end up, after his seventh professional season, he'll be 27, which is, he'll be free,
which is,
unrestricted.
Yeah, which means he's got four seasons left to play. So I think what Armstrong will want to do is make a contract 3 years in order to have another RFA bargaining session.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years or less, in order to have another RFA bargaining session without it having to be competed, or no competition with the rest of the league.
Right, right.
The most that we can sign him for is 8 years, signing our own free agents, which will put him well into unrestricted territory.
Right, which I don't know. I mean, neither side would probably have a problem with that.
Probably not. I think also Armstrong wants to have some wiggle room. You don't want to spend up to the very edge of the cap because then that handcuffs you come trade deadline. If you want to make a trade and add a player, possibly adding salary, you might not be able to do that if you have no cap space.
Right. And it seems like the woes of money are a little bit past the Blues. I mean, obviously Tom Stillman's still not, you know, Mr. Moneybags like Terry Pegula over in, you know, Buffalo or whatever. But
right,
it seems like he's opening up the purse strings a little bit more than, say, previous owners, which we might get into later with Dave Checkets. But that's
interesting.
As I say, Stillman seems to be a little bit more willing to spend on his product than previous owners have been.
Yes. And I got some ideas about that, too. But before we go to that, I want to say that my bold prediction, since I am on a roll with my predictions of contracts, I am going to predict that Petro's going to sign for an annual cap hit of $6.5 million.
Okay.
Which is not really crazy. It's a lot what a lot of people are saying. I bet you Armstrong wants 3 years. I don't know if that's what's actually gets signed, but I don't think it's going to be any more than 5 years. I don't think they're going to go all the way to the edge. So I'm going to say 3 or 5 years with a max or the cap hit of $6.5 million.
And I still go with 4 years and a cap hit of $7 million.
So, okay.
And that would put him at his RFA. And whenever I made that prediction, I forgot about that. But I'm still with it.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see. And then about this, you know, how about this spinning to the cap for the first time? The Blues are a cap spending team.
Yeah, I was gonna say because we talked about this before with Bill Lorre. He didn't have a cap to spend to, so he just spent money wildly, and of course it ended up not working out for him or for the team. And then we get Checkets, who didn't have any money.
Yeah. When Checkets first came around, I mean, he kind of saved the Blues. He brought them out of the previous lockout. He did a lot of PR moves that won over the fans again, or after the lockout. So, I mean, there was a lot of good, you know...
Well, he did a lot of great things. Don't get me wrong. It's just he didn't have any money.
Yeah. It's just that the bills came due and he couldn't pay for them. And that might have left the Blues in a worse shape than what he found them in.
Right, which is sad, but, you know, they're starting to get a little bit better now. So, I mean, you know, playoffs cure everything, seems like. So.
Yeah. Yeah, winning is a great deodorant. It covers over to all kinds of stink. But here's something that I've been trying to watch here. When Stillman took over the Blues, and it was the big press conference, and Gary Bettman actually remembered where St. Louis was, and he came in, and there's this big presser. Everybody was saying that job number one is to get the financial house in order, get all the finances straightened out. Checkets had kind of shafted us by signing away the concessions, and was it parking also?
Concessions and parking, yes. He signed those away to different distributors, and that didn't really help.
No, those are big revenue streams, and he signed those off. And then we had a pretty top-heavy front office in terms of money.
Yeah, John Davidson and everybody else.
Yep. And then there was the Peoria Rivermen, who we later learned was losing money the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And it was another part of the Checkets Arrows buying the Rivermen.
Right, which, it was good when he did it, but yeah.
Yeah, it was cool that it happened, but it turns out that what I've said before is that Checkets bought two hockey teams and he couldn't afford one.
Right. And yeah, we've discussed that one before, and
that's a
raw deal.
it was a bad idea, a bad deal, and the ultimate consequence of that was that the Peoria Rivermen really are now the Utica, I think New York, whatevers, and they're part of the
Uticans or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know.
Yeah, and. Utica not gonna play her anymore.
Naga. Yeah. Office Space, gotta love that movie.
But that means that what we knew as Pure Rivermen are now part of the Vancouver organization.
Right.
They're playing in Utica, New York. The players of Rivermen are now part of the Chicago Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
An independently owned franchise with a lot of question marks hanging over that in terms of how our prospects are going to be handled there.
Which, I mean, I'm sure they've got an arrangement. I mean, it would be silly if they didn't know what they were getting into. I think we've discussed that before.
Yeah.
But.
And then there's, I guess, a reconstituted Peoria Rivermen that's now part of the Southern Professional Hockey League.
Yeah, the SPHL, yeah.
Yeah. That's so, all those repercussions.
Everything just went down the line on that one. I mean, it was really weird.
Yeah, and all that because Dave Checkets wanted to do things that he couldn't afford.
Yeah, I was going to say, he wanted to be the boss and didn't have the cheese to do it.
Pretty much.
You know, that's the way it is.
Yeah. So job one for Stillman and his group was to get the financial house in order. And before he could take in any single dime of revenue, there's a lockout. And he loses half a season. So now a single person walks through the gates and buys a ticket to provide any type of revenue for him. Now, part of the deal was also the Scott Trade Center, And they, of course, they have concerts and other events, so there is revenue there.
Yeah, I was say he was fortunate on that end. Yeah.
Yeah, but doing a little bit of research, you have John Davison going out.
Mm-hmm.
He first is a long hiatus, and then officially becomes part of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yep, and I was going to say, I think they're paying him a pretty penny over there, too, but, you know, that that was a great lateral move for him.
Oh, it was a great move for him, and yeah. It got a big front office contract off the books. There was a couple of other front office people who left for other positions in pro sports or just left the organization completely
at
the high levels, which is all basically just paychecks out the door.
Yeah, as I say, just basically, you could take those off the books. And,
right.
Yeah, that was good.
You have what I think is admittedly a more revenue-friendly thing for the ownership and the new CBA.
Yep. It's more revenue-friendly for both sides. How can you go figure that one out?
Right, right. But I mean, the thing is that Stillman, from what he originally signed up for to what he's looking at now, is going to be a little bit more friendly for him in terms of revenue.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And I sells the Riverman, which two things, eliminates a loss,
mm-hmm.
and then the actual sale itself puts money back into the coffers.
Yeah, which he can do with to improve his product.
Right. And there's a interesting article, and I have it queued up here. I wanted to share. This was can't remember if it was in Game Time's links or if this was on Puck Daddy's links.
Oh, yeah, their headlines, yeah.
Yeah, their headline stuff. Tom Stillman renegotiated or signed a new deal with Anheuser-Busch. This is from the St. Louis Business Journal, and it's
updated. Didn't read that one.
Okay, and it's updated July 26th, so this was just at the end of July.
Okay. Yeah, that would have been, yeah, I think that was... I completely missed that.
Well, the St. Louis Blues signed a five-year extension with Anheuser-Busch to remain the team's exclusive beer partner.
Hmm.
Industry insiders say the agreement is worth seven figures annually to the team.
That's good.
Under the new deal, the team is now able to pursue sponsorship deals with liquor companies like Grey Goose, Jim Beam, and Crown Royal, to name a few, that include signage and other promotions.
The we can team. Truly make it the drink scotch.
That's exactly where I was going with that. The team's previous deal with AB did not allow wine and spirits vendors to display major signage or do promotions at Scott Trade.
They allowed them to serve the drinks. They did not allow them to advertise, yes.
Yeah, signage and promotions.
Yeah.
What this means is that a new AB deal bringing in money, and it's loosened up to the point where he can sign more deals with more money with liquor and wine.
And which, who don't like liquor and wine?
Exactly. And the fact that Stillman, and considering that Stillman comes from a liquor distributorship background.
He's going to get those deals.
You know he's got inroads. You know he's going to have contacts.
He's going to get those deals. Yeah, he's going to get those deals.
And I have no inside knowledge of this, but putting all these little dots together, could it be that they've this quickly put their financial house in order, and maybe this is what's allowing them to spin to the cap?
I think you're definitely on to something there. I think so.
That's a picture that gets painted.
They haven't released books like the Minnesota Wild say that they've lost I don't know how the fuck much money. Like almost
fuck
30
those guys. Dollars.
Yeah. Leopoldo's a friggin' idiot. But anyway.
Yeah.
And then the Chicago Blackhawks said they were losing money every playoff game, and I was like,
how?
You can't really say that because you're basically returning profit because you don't have to pay your players during the playoffs. So I don't believe that one damn bit.
Yeah.
So
there was a really good article, and I'll have to find it again because I don't have it queued up. But it was a really good post put up, someone who is simply a fan, but someone who says, look, there's like a million different ways to count revenue. And depending upon what story you want to tell, you can show all your cards or none of your cards or only a couple of them and pass it off as a whole story when it's not really the whole story. So anybody can claim anything and provide, you know, a half-truth to back it up, but I find it hard to believe that most of these owners in the NHL are businessmen first. They came to the hockey business from another industry.
Right.
They're business people. They're not going to get into a losing proposition where they're going to go bankrupt.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're not stupid.
I mean, the Chicago example, the Wirtz family, they've been doing this for a long time. If they haven't figured out how to turn a profit, in freaking Chicago.
Yeah, it was the same. In the biggest building in the league, I believe, the United Center.
It's huge.
It's massive. I believe it's the highest capacity. I'm almost certain it is. If not, it's one of the teams in like Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, that area. But
I mean, well, you know, winning the Stanley Cups still do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just as a side note, there was a little mini scandal. Apparently, the Madhouse on Madison sign got taken down at the United Center. And there were people who were up in arms.
So saddened by that.
Oh, gosh. The heartbreak. The heartbreak.
Oh. Hit me now. No.
Yeah. Whatevs.
Yeah.
I think most of the people I follow on Twitter who are Blackhawks fans, and there are some cool ones.
Yeah, there are some really good ones.
Most of the ones that I follow were of the meh crowd.
Yeah.
They couldn't care less.
What are we going to do? Nothing.
Yeah.
Let it go. Make a new one.
It hadn't been up for very long, so it's not like it was a big tradition.
Right.
It's not like removing the ivy from Wrigley Field or anything.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you do that, you might as well go ahead and burn the whole building down.
Exactly.
Which I know some people want to do. Even Chicago Cubs fans want that to be done, but that's their time.
There was a time not too long ago when it was doing a pretty good job of tearing itself down.
Before they started fixing it, which is what they have to do now.
Yeah. But anyway, it looks like Tom Stillman is doing a pretty damn good job of running the team like a business, investing it. All these moves that he's done for money
could
have been put into his own pockets.
Exactly. And now, I was just saying, it's going into his pockets, but invariably he is using it to improve the product.
Right.
Everybody knows that how much of a hockey fan he is. Yeah. I mean, he plays in rec leagues, for Christ's sake. I mean, what other owners do that? There's not very many. So, I mean, he's a hockey fan. He is, you know, a fan of the team, and he actually is getting everything in order to actually improve the product, which is a departure from everything that has happened since Bill Lurie left town, which I'm glad he did, but that's a different story.
Yeah. And for Bill Lurie, even that was, he wanted a basketball team.
Yeah.
Everything he did for the Blues, which was nice, was still secondary to the eventual getting a basketball team.
Which, I would say that was a losing proposition when he started, and he didn't think it was, and it just ended up being.
But, another tangent here, St. Louis has had two pretty well-attended soccer games lately.
Yes.
In the past couple of months. Just recently, they had Real Madrid and some other European team play.
I think it was Inter Milan, yeah.
Yeah, Milan, that's right.
Yeah, Inter Milan is, he's one of the best teams in Italy, yeah.
And then earlier this summer, they had a game at Busch Stadium.
Mm-hmm. It was Chelsea and Arsenal, I believe, yeah.
It was some of the English teams,
It was two teams from London that came over, And there's like shitloads of teams from London, obviously, but you know.
But the fact that they were both well attended, first, you know, people were driving up attendance. You know, please come to these games, demonstrate that we can support a team. Because eventually, this is all part of the proving St. Louis can support an MLS team.
Right, and let me correct myself. It was actually Manchester City and Chelsea that played each other.
It was Man City, okay.
Yeah, because I remember it was two blue teams. That was playing in Busch Stadium, you know.
Right.
Yeah, two very well-attended soccer games, yes. I'm sorry.
Yes, but no, the thing is that for all of Bill Lurie's failings in trying to get an NBA team here and the debate that that created about can St. Louis support another major league sports franchise, we might get a soccer team before we get an NBA team.
In fact, and why they don't have a soccer team now, I mean, I know why.
Yeah.
Because the people that have the money to do so don't seem to be able to want to get together and get everything done. And it's just why can't these guys get into a room and figure this out, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And, I mean, they've got such a great fan base of soccer here, and obviously, I mean, you know, packed two of the biggest stadiums in, you know, downtown St. Louis to, you know, for two of these games with teams that aren't even anywhere near our map, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it shows that we can do this.
Whether we can do it consistently, that's another, you know, debate to be had later. But the fact is that there is at least a root of entry interest in this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something for St. Louis to pat itself in the back for. You know,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're doing a good job for ourselves and proving the point that we can support at least a little bit of an interest.
Right.
We'll see how that turns out. I'm not a huge soccer fan myself, but, yeah. You know.
I've become a soccer fan lately, probably in the last 4 years more than anything else, especially, I would say probably mostly after the 2010 World Cup is when I really gained most of my interest, but it was before I was kind of taking a look at it. And St. Louis has always been a soccer town. Everybody, yeah. I mean, because St. Louis University's soccer team is always nationally ranked, doing very well in the NCAA. People are their games are very well attended. People attend them a lot, and a lot of guys from the SLU program end up beating into the United States men's national team. I believe there's one that's playing a prominent role on there right now. I can't think of his name right now. And guys play all over the country from St. Louis. Plenty of guys from St. Louis in the MLS. It can work.
I remember in the last Olympics, in the women's soccer, there was a girl that I went to high school with on the New Zealand team.
Really?
She had gone to college on a soccer scholarship and met a guy who played soccer from New Zealand, and she married. They moved to New Zealand, and she represented New Zealand in international play.
So New Zealand's more known for rugby, but, yeah, they've got a pretty decent soccer program down there, too. Obviously, yep. Australia, the Roos are pretty good down there, too. So, and they're probably big rivals down there because Australia and New Zealand seems to hate each other all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, there's pretty good soccer down there as well. And,
sure.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you had a Belleville West Maroon.
Exactly.
Playing in the All Blacks. That's crazy.
Essentially, yeah. So that was kind of fun. But anywho, is it weird that the St. Louis cliche of we're just going to high school even applies to the Olympics?
Yeah. Totally. That is fucked up, man.
So getting back to the topic of what the Blues are doing. Right now, it's just kind of status quo. It's every morning, has Petro signed yet? No.
No.
And then going on with your life until camp starts, which is going to be basically September.
Yeah. Just going to keep that one going.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that, but, I mean, it'll be quite interesting.
Yep. The reason why we didn't have this a week earlier is because you were on vacation.
Yeah.
Spending some time in Salt Lake City.
Beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah, and Park City, Utah, which is about 30 miles east of Salt Lake, and is 20 degrees cooler.
Ah, geez, that'd be nice right about now.
Elevation is something like, I mean, they say the highest point is somewhere around 10,000, but when you're in Park City, you're basically amongst the mountains, so everything is about 8,000 feet and above. So, yeah, it's going to be a little bit cooler.
Wow.
Beautiful up there. I mean, it's just absolutely, as I said, the best description I can give for Salt Lake City, Park City. It's just a really nice area.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, we were bitching a little earlier about David Checkitz.
Mm-hmm.
He was the owner of the Blues. He was also the owner of, I guess it's an MLS team, Real
Salt Lake.
Salt Lake. Yeah. And you said that the people down there didn't have a high opinion of Checkitz either.
That's correct. I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name that was the minority partner of Real Salt Lake when he bought out the majority interest from Dave Checkitz, and I can't remember it right now. I think his last name was, it started with an H. I can't remember it right now. I'll look it up, but while I'm talking about it, but let's put it this way: there was an article that was put out shortly after the sale was completed, which was at the beginning of the year, and he said one of the headlines of the article was "I fix broken things." Which led me to think that he didn't really think much of what Checkitz did with the team. Now, I mean, they were very diplomatic about it because I know they're very good friends, but Checkitz obviously had a very different view on what the owner thought of the house of cards, as it were, with Real Salt Lake as it was left. But as it turns out, I mean, this guy has everything in order now, or he's starting to get everything in order and is starting to build a franchise that is trying to compete in the MLS, which is actually not as hard as you think because, I mean, you just got to get some decent players, and the minimum wage in the MLS is about one-tenth of what Major League Baseball players make for minimum salary. So, I mean, yeah. I think the minimum is like $70,000 in a year. And, well, I mean, I would live on $70,000, let's put it that way.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's not very lucrative, and, I mean, most of the guys are in the, you know, $500,000 to $1 million range. So, I mean, that holds costs down pretty good. Obviously, with Checkitz, he didn't have any money. So he was getting everything in order. He did get an MLS title. He won an MLS Cup with Real Salt Lake.
Yeah.
So he's got that in his house, but otherwise not very well thought of as hourly as an owner. The players loved him. And that's a familiar story. The players in St. Louis loved Dave Checkitz too. It's just one of those things where he didn't have all of his finances in order, and it seems like a very similar story to what the Blues are going through right now.
Well, seems like it's the same old story. Checkitz sucks. Stillman rules.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, anything else you want to share? Any comments, opinions?
We haven't talked anything about Jay Bouwmeester.
Oh, my God. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I meant to bring it up earlier, and I completely forgot.
I got distracted by the hate on for Checkitz. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Yeah, Jay Bo's deal. Surprised a hell of a lot of people.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we figured he's got 1 year left in his contract. That's going to be it. And
right.
Not only did they sign him to a deal, they signed him to a less average annual value than what he's currently worth. So he's worth 6.68 right now. The AAV on this new contract is 5.4.
Right.
So, which is great for all sides involved, because he's still getting paid. And less.
Yeah, it's getting paid a little bit less. I think as long as he's played, I don't know if this is his last contract, but this is probably maybe his second to last contract.
It's his last significant contract, I'd be willing to bet, because he's going to be 35 by the time it is done.
Right.
35 or 36. See, it won't be his last contract because, his longevity... I think he'll probably end up playing about 3 or 4 more years after that. And, of course, he's a big guy. He's a good defenseman. Everybody knows who he is. You know what you get from him. So if you project a few years down the line when he's 36, 37 years old, he should still be playing.
Yeah, I mean, he's demonstrated that he can be healthy. I mean, the Iron Man streak alone speaks for that.
Yeah, indeed.
and I think it's nice when you're trying to negotiate with your actual franchise defenseman that you have his partner signed up for the long term.
Indeed.
Pietrangelo had a down season last year, but I think it did pick up after we had J-Boat.
Yeah, it picked up noticeably after J-Boatmeister came along, because Pietrangelo knew who his partner was the previous year, because as long as Carlo Colaiacovo was healthy, he was his partner. And Colaiacovo didn't do nearly as much as Pietrangelo did, but he did settle things down for him. Now J-Boatmeister is, you know, probably better. I mean, probably he is better than Carlo Colaiacovo. As far as overall skill set, and of course he's a lot more durable, so his bones don't explode at a moment's notice. But the stability of having J-Boatmeister, we know he's going to be in the fold for the next 6 years. That's got to be huge for the contract negotiations for Pietrangelo, and it's probably going to bode well for what eventually is going to happen.
Exactly. One of the best turns of phrase I've ever heard, a Steve Dangle's podcast talking about players that played in Toronto recently, talked about Colby Armstrong. Now, Colby Armstrong has had a bad run of injuries himself.
No, he's an unlucky son of a bitch, isn't he?
He's a very unlucky son of a bitch, and including a point where he tried to hide a concussion.
Yeah.
Which was, one, dumb, and two, doomed to failure.
Yeah, and, well, we saw what happened there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the best turns of phrase I've ever heard, Steve Dangle said that Colby Armstrong's run of injuries made Carlo Colaiacovo look like Cal Ripken Jr.
Oh, that's perfect. And when Carlo Colaiacovo looks that good, that's bad.
That's bad.
Mr. Splody Bones.
Indeed.
Holy shit. Yeah, I was going to say Colby Armstrong has had a horrible run of just bad, bad luck, and then one decision to try to play with a concussion, which it's one of those things you can understand, but at the same time, it's like, well, obviously he wasn't thinking straight, and we know why.
Yeah. And it's a shame because Colby is such a likable player.
Oh, indeed.
If he had played for the Blues, he'd be a fan favorite instantly.
Yeah, I was going to say, he would be, you know, I mean, you know how much we love our middle infielders with no size and on the baseball team, and all they do is, you know, hustle and scrap and all that. He would be that.
Yeah, he is definitely... a picture of St. Louis's love affair with Scrappy.
He's a blue-collar guy, yes.
He definitely is. I first really took note of him when Colby was part of the Penguins organization. Mm-hmm. And he was part of the return when the Penguins picked up Marian Hossa at the trade deadline. When Hossa finally left Atlanta, the Thrashers, and went on his, you know, mercenary trip of trying to chase a Stanley Cup. The first thing, his first stop was Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And Colby was part of the return on that. And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. There were some great videos on YouTube. If anybody out there wants to do some scrounging around, there are some great YouTube videos of Colby Armstrong playing for the Baby Penguins.
Oh, the Wilkes-Barre Penguins, yeah.
Yeah. And basically, he's like a teenager living on his own, and like they'll bring a camera into his apartment that he's sharing with a buddy that's also on the team, and there's clothes everywhere, and it's like, you get into the refrigerator, opening up a Tupperware container, whoa, yeah, put it back in your fridge. It's hysterical. Him and his buddy are just hamming it up in front of the camera. It's just hysterical. And it's like, I like this kid.
It sounds like the T.J. Oshie, Patrick Berglund, Cribs episode. Except
worst episode of Cribs ever. Yes. And there was another one where he was talking to the camera in a car. And he's like, yeah, so they told me I need to put on some more weight. So they put me on so many thousand calorie a day diet. You know, I asked the trainer, you know, what does that mean? And he's like, lots of milkshakes. Go to McDonald's. So it was like on the way to practice, on the way back from practice, pulling through a drive-thru, and he shows me, he's like, When he said that, I was like, sure, I could do that. And he shows him ordering through the drive-thru, and he's eating fries and driving along. And ever since then, I've had a kind of an interest in what happens to Colby Armstrong. I follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow on Twitter. He often is joking around with Kelly Chase. Them two have hit it off. And so it's a lot of fun watching them two rip each other, yeah. Just kind of trip each other.
Those two, yeah, they do get after each other. It's really funny. And they send texts to each other now, too, and it's like it's... Jesus Christ. And then, of course, they show it to everybody, and it's like...
Yeah.
Crazy.
Exactly. It's those Western Canadians, man. They're nuts.
Tell you what, man. well, hey, Chase is a Central Canadian. Are you kidding me? He's a Saskatchewan boy.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, it's technically Western Canada, but you know.
Yeah, I don't really believe in Central Canada. There's like Ontario and everything east, and then there's everything west. You know, yeah, I don't exactly. Really think of it as yeah.
No, you're not the only one on that one. You're not the only one on that one, but yeah, it's yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, they're crazy. There's nothing else to do in Saskatchewan. Are you kidding me?
No, not really. Now, something that came up since our last, I think, broadcast. It's a minor note, but only because it's mentionable, only because it affects the new divisions that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg lost one of their promising young players to the KHL, Burmistrov.
Yeah, Alexander Burmistrov, yeah.
Yeah, so he signed with the KHL, and yeah. I think people are excited to see Winnipeg Jets as a team. I don't think they're going to be very good. I mean, they're still really not a good team.
Right. Well, I mean, they've got some big pieces there. They've got, I mean, they signed, and all of them have big contracts now, it seems like.
Yeah, Brandon they do. Kane,
Blake Wheeler, and Zach Bogosian. Yeah. I mean, those are the big three they have.
Yeah.
Alexander Burmistrov was kind of thought of as an enigma when he was with Winnipeg. I mean, the talent was there. It was just he couldn't put it all together. I think we wanted to bet he was homesick, and that's why he went back, because he's still young.
That probably that does happen a lot with the Russian players.
Oh yeah,
because that was hard.
He was taking a very considerable amount of heat for not playing up to his potential over there. But I mean, everybody knew that he had the talent. But I mean, they got, as I said, they got their big pieces together. Who was the other one? That center, Brian Little, I believe his name is.
Little.
They signed him to a pretty good deal too. So I mean, they've got these young guys. They've got this nice nucleus. It sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? But they got this nucleus here. Yeah, and they still have Dustin Byfuglien, who I think they should still move back to forward. That's a different story for a different time. They've got these young guys, they got them all together, and they got some pieces they can work with. It's just that they're probably a couple years down the road before they're actually going to be worth their weight in gold. So yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how they go years down the line, but this year they'll be okay, but not great.
Yeah. They'll probably be just good enough that if you underestimate them, they can bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
And they Which were doing is well something that the Blues do well.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they were doing well in the East, despite the fact they were traveling shit tons.
Yeah.
But, as I say, they're entering a veritable meat grinder in the West, and I don't know how they're going to handle it.
We'll see.
Yeah.
It'll be an eye-opener. It'll be interesting to see if Andrew Kane play a couple times a year.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm kind of afraid of that, because it seems like every time we play the Winnipeg Atlanta franchise, he seems to burn the Blues. So I'm not really looking forward to that aspect of it.
Yeah, but then you got their goaltender, who has moments where he looks really, really good. Other times when he looks very, very mortal. But when he's on his game, yeah, Pavelec, right? When he's on his game, he's tough to beat.
Incredible. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
We have a lot of big goaltenders in the West, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we shipped off Bishop.
Yeah.
Who is now...
who's
Bishop's now in Tampa Bay.
What's that?
The Bishop's now Tampa Bay.
Yes, he's still down there. Yeah, I was just saying that. He'll be good down there.
And his backup is Lindbach, who is also very big in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, well, he was. And what's funny is that he was Pecorino's backup. Then he signed in Tampa, or he got traded to Tampa to be their starter. And then they get Bishop in trade, and now he's a backup again. Go figure that one out. Roman Turek says hi.
Exactly. I remember a game not too long ago, maybe about two seasons ago, I believe it was in Nashville, where Ben Bishop got to start, and Anders Lindbach got to start for Nashville.
It was the tallest matchup ever.
Exactly. Combined tallest two goaltenders playing each other.
Yeah, and before that, it was who was that kid from Edmonton? I'm not sure he's still there. Devin Dubnyk.
Oh yeah, Dubnyk is he's still part of the organization, I think.
Yeah, I would say he, because the same thing, similar thing happened when Bishop was playing for the Blues, and he and Dubnyk played against each other up in Edmonton, and something similar happened to that. But it was, but Lindbach is just a skosh taller than Dubnyk, I believe. So
a lot of big goaltenders, which is adding weight to the argument that they need to do something about either goal size or equipment or both in order to make scoring a little bit easier.
Improve the ability for teams to score, Then that would handicap the Blues a little bit with Yaroslav Halak, who is one of the smaller goaltenders in the NHL, but still able to cover a lot of space.
Yep. The bigger you are, the more you can kind of get away with on your angles, I guess.
Yeah.
If they expand the net size, then it just makes you rely more on getting your angles right.
Right.
We'll see who can respond.
Yeah, I was saying with Halak, he plays angles very well, obviously, because he is very mobile.
Yeah.
When he is not limping around with a groin injury, he is very mobile.
Yeah, well, less said about that, the better.
Especially, right? We don't need to be talking about groins on a podcast, yes.
Which is kind of funny, because I got into a little conversation. I basically barged my way into conversation. I think it was Mike McKenna who was talking about, there is some new standards about goaltending equipment.
Yeah, they did change those a little bit. Yeah, they tweaked them.
And McKenna talked about how getting new equipment, him being not a starting goaltender, he is kind of like low priority in getting the new size equipment. So he was just finally getting his equipment just a couple weeks ago. And, of course, you got to break it in. Goaltenders are very finicky about their equipment that they use.
Oh, yeah.
So he was kind of not like whining, but just kind of like, geez, now I finally got my equipment. I'm so low on the totem pole.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, it's a month out, and it's like, it's not enough time.
Exactly.
You ever seeing that, yeah.
And someone said about, what was the changes? And he said, I lost like 2 inches or something like that. And then someone else chimed in with, a man should never lose 2 inches. And then someone else chimed in with, how do you get those inches back? And that's when I replied to that. I replied to all. I went, I have a few emails about that. I'll forward them to you. I want to say Corey Hirsch was in that email chain, too. I'm not sure.
Gee. Oh, no.
Because he's a character, too.
Oh, God. That had to be perfect.
Yeah. Speaking of former Blues, Mike Weaver.
Old Monkey Arms.
He is on Twitter now.
He is on Twitter now. I saw that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know what he'd be tweeting about other than the fact that I don't know how he can see the keyboard with his long arms, though, because he's typing like this.
The only person in the world who can sit on the floor and still type at his desk.
Yeah! Kind of like that video of our pal Jeremy Boyer.
Yes!
Playing, what was it?
Blues Come Marching In.
Yeah, when the Blues Come Marching In. Upside down with his keyboard going like, Christmas gestures, yeah, I know, but anyway.
Right. Yeah, again, more homework for our listeners. Go do a YouTube search for, is it Jeremy Boyers?
Jeremy Boyer, I believe his name is, yes.
Yeah. His Twitter handle is something along the lines of Jabs Music or something to that effect.
That is correct.
But there's a great YouTube video of him playing When the Blues Go Marching In with, I guess, his back to the keyboard and his arms crossed.
Yep.
I think is what it is.
Yeah, either that or he's underneath the keyboard on like a table or something like that. And
yeah.
It's crazy.
It's
fucking awesome is what it is.
Yeah. So we covered J-Bo, we covered Umlaut Overlord. We bitched about Checkitz. We semi-bitched about no contract for Petro. We talked about beer. We talked about the podcast.
Yeah.
Is there anything left?
One thing that I was reintroduced to during my vacation.
Yes.
Speaking of booze, it was this product called, I'm not sure that it's very much available in Illinois for, on your side of the river. But it is available in northern Missouri and southern Iowa, actually probably most of Iowa. It's a stuff called Templeton Rye. I'm not sure you've heard of it. It's a whiskey.
Oh, okay. Rye whiskey, okay.
Yeah, it's a rye whiskey. It was my girlfriend's stepfather does a lot of business up in like the Kirksville area. He works for the state of Missouri. So he was able to procure a bottle, and I do have most of that bottle left in the freezer. Oh,
most of it.
Most of it. Still, I haven't drank a lot of it yet. It is very smooth stuff. It was a Prohibition-era recipe, and it's
nice.
I was reintroduced to that, and I was very happy to be reintroduced to it. It's a very... let's put it this way. You know my affinity for Jameson whiskey?
Yes.
It might be better. It might be better.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot right there.
Yeah, and it's quite expensive. I mean, it sets you back like $40 for a fifth of it. It's
really good hooch is going to cost.
Yeah, exactly. So that was last thing I was going to bring up. I knew I was going to bring it up. I just forgot to.
But usually you can taste where the money went. You know it's good.
Exactly.
I have a buddy who is has the unusual distinction of being the coolest Red Wings fan I know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that crowd's pretty small to begin with.
But, you know that.
But he is a diehard Red Wings fan. He was a Red Wings fan before the 90s, so okay. I give him props for that.
Yeah. I got a couple friends like that too, and those are the good ones.
Yes, he lives in upstate Illinois in the Rockford area.
Oh.
And every once in a while we'll go up there to visit, and we almost always bring some sort of booze with us. Our last trip, we brought a cooler full of Stag.
Of course.
But a couple of trips before, he was going through a phase where he was really into scotch. So my buddy and I were like, hey, let's get some high-end scotch and take it up there and hang out with him for a weekend. So we did. Johnny Walker is a long-established brand of scotch.
The red and the black, yes.
Yes, there's the red label, there's a black label.
And then there's also
a blue label.
Oh.
Now, blue label Johnny Walker was $200.
For a... Hopefully you got more than a liter of that.
Well, for your standard, you know... Whatever your standard liquor bottle is, you know.
Wow, that's expensive.
Oh, yes, it was. It was the kind of bottle that you don't just pull off the shelf and take to the register. You pull a ticket. You take it to the register, and they get it for you.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want you to touch that shit, man.
No, man. You drop that shit in the aisle? Hell no.
You're going to die if you do that.
So they bring it to the register. They ring you up. So we take it to the car. We give it its own seatbelt.
You better. You
That's right.
You better.
And we drive up to Rockford with it. And we don't open it until we get there, right?
Well, you can't open it until you get there.
Exactly. We get there, and oh my God, that is the smoothest stuff I've ever had.
You better have had that on rocks.
Actually, I think we I think we might have drank it neat. Really? It was.
I'm not gonna judge.
It might have been a single ice cube, maybe. It's been a few years, and I've drank since then, so I can't remember it entirely.
I know the feeling.
But I remember, you drink scotch, and you're like, okay, prepare yourself. This is going to burn.
Mm-hmm.
Not
every time it does. You don't think it will.
Yeah, this one, you were preparing for it, and it didn't happen. It was smooth stuff.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh, my God. It was good stuff. Obviously, you don't want to make a habit of it. it's too expensive to do that.
I was to say, you can't drink that more than once a year, basically.
Right.
You're broke.
It was some good stuff, though. Yeah. That's probably the most expensive booze I've ever had, but you knew where the money went. It wasn't like a waste of money. That was some good,
smooth it was worth
stuff. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to remember that. Johnny Walker Blue, huh?
Yeah.
I'll remember that.
Now, you can probably get it, like, at a bar. I'm sure you'll pay through nose for it, but you can probably find it at some of the...
Oh, yeah.
A high-end place.
And here in the state of Montana, all the liquor stores are run by the state, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would say you can buy beer and wine at a grocery store, a convenience store, whatever, but if you want booze, you have to go to a special liquor store. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
So I'll have to look at my favorite one and see if they have. I know they got the black and the red, but I don't know if they got the blue.
It's certainly something to look into if you ever have the opportunity.
Absolutely.
And I guess on that note, it would be an appropriate. Oh, that blue note. Johnny Walker Blue.
Hey.
Note. Heyo. So I guess on that note, it's about time to wrap up the first named edition of Beyond Checkerdome.
Yeah. And do remember that you can email us now.
Yes.
BeyondCheckerdome@gmail.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. And eventually we're going to start following people back. We don't know when, but we will. It is BYND Checkerdome on
Indeed.
The Twitters.
On the Twitter net.
Yes.
I think right now we follow each other. I think Beyond Checkerdome follows you, me, and maybe the Blues
themselves. There's an app place and then Game Time. That's it.
Oh, and Game Time. It's a game. Yeah, Game Time. St. Louis Game Time.
Yeah, so that's about it right now. But we're going to start following people at some point. We just don't know when.
Right.
We're waiting for the grand opening. That's what it is, right?
Well, I mean, we just got a name, so, one thing at a time.
Yeah, I was just saying, we got to follow ourselves first, and then we get to be jackasses and follow other people and then bait them into bad conversations or whatever. No, I'm kidding now.
Yeah, we can do trolling on our own accounts. I don't think we should use Beyond.
I was saying, we're good enough at that ourselves, right?
Right. And speaking of which, for those who don't already know that, I am at CrosscheckRays on Twitter.
And... yeah, I am King Donuts I on Twitter. I'm approaching 1,000. I don't know what people are. They're fucking insane, man. I don't know why people want to follow me. But I'm approaching 1,000. I think I'm up to like 972 or something like that.
I'm somewhere in the mid 300s. I'm just
You're doing pretty well for yourself. You should be doing better, I think. But
yeah, well. We'll get there. If I was more into baseball and more active on the baseball thing, I probably would be. You talk more baseball, I think that's probably where you get a lot of your followers.
Yeah, I get a lot of them through that. Of course, I start bitching about the Cardinals, and I lose a few every time. It's funny. It's like I bitch about him, and it's like, oh, he's not even a fan, is he? Fuck you, I am!
Best fans in baseball.
Hashtag, yeah.
Yes.
We're not a baseball podcast, so we won't get into that.
No. Well, I guess I'll do it for this episode. We'll keep biding our time. Maybe we can talk about the Petro signing the next time around.
Hopefully it actually gets done.
Yeah, or we'll just not have much to talk about there at all. We'll see what happens between now and then.
We'll have a short episode, and half of it will be bitching about, God damn it, why haven't they signed him yet?
And then we'll talk more about beer or booze.
I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that too.
Well, until then, thanks for everything you've done for us, Internet. We appreciate your support, and we'll only get better. Have a good week.
Your tubes are kind.
Take care.
All right.